Welcome, my friends, to Scrymeer River, the MTG Advice Podcast. I'm Riley.
Riley, who cares about us? It's not about us this week.
He's Dennis, but okay. He makes a good point. It's not about us this week. We've got a special guest joining us on the line. It is Gianna Bloody Kaplan. Bloody, mate, the fame streamer. How are you? Good to have you.
Hi, I'm doing great. I forget that my name is anything other than Bloody. So I was like, who? Oh, me. That's right.
It's also, your name makes it sound, especially to people who are like, live in the UK, like, right, like, you're just really enthusiastic about her last name.
Like, there's an Australian singer called Kevin Bloody Wilson, right? And it's sort of like a
joke.
Gianna Bloody Kaplan's here.
Yeah, it's more like, I think NA comparison is like Gianna motherfucker. Kaplan.
Yeah.
You can swear if you want. Riley just has to believe it.
I could swear.
You could totally swear. I would say swearing is actively encouraged.
I was going to say, Bloody, thank you very much for not swearing because it means less of an editing burden on me later. Dennis loves to make my job as hard as possible by putting in...
The one blue episode we had is the one where we had Voxy on because it was just untenable to let her swear.
Yeah, you can't salvage that one.
I'm glad you understand.
That'd be like cutting out Voxy's spirit if you cut out the curse words.
There'd be like 3 minutes of audio for the whole thing.
There'd be nothing like the podcast is the problem. Anyway. Bloody, it's great to have you along. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, before we get into the chat, we've had lots of questions submitted. Thank you to everyone who submitted questions for Bloody this week. That's not the bad thing. The bad thing is, it's those damn fat cats, Bloody. It's those damn fat cats at Channel Fireball again, I know, we got to pay the piper. All right, well, hoist on the faces, everyone, because it's time for an enthusiastic and good vibe-filled ad for channelfireball.com, the best place on the internet to buy and sell your magic cards.
John Sasso stands just off camera pointing a rifle at Riley.
Make it work, Riley. Dennis, we've got something very exciting coming up in just a couple of days. The clock is ticking for the Time Spiral remastered release party.
And Riley, how much magic were you playing come first Time Spiral?
Zero. I had heard of Time Spiral because I remember going to an LGS in Melbourne, right, called the Magic Dungeon, which was literally in a basement, to buy D&D rule books, right? And it was around the time that I think Future Sight was coming out. So I was aware of Magic at the time, but this is my first time I've actually like played with the cards.
Bloody, did you play back come Time Spiral times?
I wasn't even born. Just kidding.
Well, that can't be right. He'd be like 11, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, I'd be like 15. That's believable.
Okay. I guess that's true. But if you weren't born around Time Spiral, I think we'd have to get you to sign a waiver to be on the podcast.
Yeah, we'd have to have your parents' permission to have you on. I think true. Because yeah, that'd be a problem.
No, I only started playing Magic in 2019.
Oh, that is comparatively pretty. I suppose you played Hearthstone stuff before that, though, right?
Yeah, I played Hearthstone. I played poker. I played like Yu-Gi-Oh, like Pokemon when I was a kid. So I played other card games, but my first game of Magic was like February 20th, 2019.
Never look back.
Never look back. Are you gonna get involved with Time Spiral Remastered, or are you too much of a Magic Zoomer to be interested in paper cards?
I mean, I would love to play paper. Actually, I probably will get involved because I got vaccinated like a week ago.
Give me
another month for everything to kick in, me to get my second shot, and then I'll probably go to an LGS and play.
Yeah, nice. Mm-hmm. Well, for those people around the world, I know there's so many who are stuck, unable to go to LGSs and play with the new set, Dennis, the Time Spiral Remastered release party is basically an online pre-release.
You can get your packs at Channel Fireball. You can get them from your local game store. We actively encourage you to get them from your local game store and go to timespiralparty.com. All the deets are there. And you can find out, you know, what influencers and guests will have and stuff. Riley's going to be there. You can try to actively avoid the times Riley's online if you want to. That's all totally fun as well.
Why would they want to do that? Just farm wins off me.
That's true. Actually.
People want to be on when I'm on. Bloody hell.
Want a challenge, right? Like,
wow.
All right. I didn't expect to be getting it from bloody both barrels today. Anyway, timespiralreleaseparty.com and
timespiralparty.com.
Timespiralreleaseparty.com will take you to probably a GoDaddy link where you can buy it and vex Dennis.
Is that true?
Timespiralparty.com.
I see Riley typing right now.
It is available.
Dennis loves buying URLs.
I bought RileyKnight.com. I bought RileyQuarryTower.com.
One day, Dennis, there will be a reckoning, but it's not this date. Anyway, thanks once again to everyone who's sent in with questions for Bloody. We're going to get underway here. We've got plenty of them. to get through, Dennis. So let's not waste any time. Our first one comes into us from Lionheart. Now, we've already kind of touched upon your Magic origin story, Bloody. You started in 2019. You said, Lionheart wants to know, what was the first Magic deck that you ever played or built? So it was around 2019. What was that? Was that... Mono what set Blue was that? Tempo. Was that Eldraine?
That was RNA. Early 2019 was RNA.
Ravnica always gets new people in, man, even if it's the third time around.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, my first deck was Mono Blue Tempo, and I think it Yeah, I know, I know.
Straight
shaped,
in there.
It shaped the a lot of the way that I play now, because it made me, like, it made me immediately sit down my first game of Magic from my opponent's seat instead of my own seat, so I think everything I learned and all my play styles have, like, shifted off of figuring out what my opponent does first, and then making my play.
So playing like very reactive game most of the time. I guess it's a little different for you because your Magic origin story, like you're coming to Magic from other card games. Like I'd never played, I played Pokemon when I was a kid, but like very different origin story for like
My first Magic deck was, I wonder if I can use this like shitty Contagion engine to put a bunch of -1/-1 counters on stuff. It only costs 7 mana each time or whatever. It was awful.
Yeah, mine was like friends telling me for years to get into Magic. Me playing... Well, I played Artifact, but, you know, RIP.
Yeah,
RIP. Pull one out for Artifact.
Oh, God.
You didn't put... Anyway. How many eggs did you put in the Artifact basket?
Listen, I was a full-time Artifact streamer, okay?
Well, I mean, for how long, though?
Like, I was the last one to jump ship.
Oh, no!
I jumped ship February 20th when I started playing Magic. My first game of Magic was my last game of Artifact, pretty much.
You're there playing the violin as the ship goes down?
Yeah, you're there ushering everyone onto the lifeboats. It's like, no, I will be the last one up.
No, it was actually, I have a very fun fact, is that I'm the only person in history to ever get Twitch partner off of Artifact.
Wow, and I mean, I don't think it's ever going to happen again. So I think
never going to happen again. No.
That's probably not a a record that stands to be broken. That's pretty sweet. Can I tell you this, though?
So that's forever. I mean, I just remember seeing like my stream with 90 viewers and Artifact like game channel with 93 viewers, and me being like, "Yeah, I'm pretty
got
cool.
a monopoly
I'm,
on this, baby.
I'm doing it." A friend of mine paid an undisclosed sum for an Artifact beta key. And he wouldn't tell us how much it was when it happened because he was embarrassed. And he definitely won't tell us how much it was now.
Oh, yeah, no, because the embarrassment like, level has surely only gotten up from there.
Like, it has to be hundreds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be hundreds.
I remember two buddies of mine, when Gwent first came out, like the standalone version, just dropped like $300 each on Gwent packs and then played for 2 days and went, like, oh, this game kind of sucks. And that was it. And I was like, you could have found that out before dropping the money on it. Like,
I mean, playing the new fancy game is always the appealing. I don't know. I actually really, really enjoyed the game, and it was my first entry into. Well, I mean, Magic was definitely my first entry into instant speed, but that was like that had pseudo instant speed stuff,
right?
So it was like the first time I ever got introduced to doing something while your opponent is doing something.
Like Runeterra kind of stopped, like even like whenever you started streaming Runeterra, you said that was a weird thing to get over, was that when you're done, you're kind of broadly speaking done.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same in Hearthstone. I mean, we play, and your background was originally, like you were very involved with Hearthstone, weren't you, Bloody?
Yeah.
And Hearthstone's basically all sorcery speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a weird adjustment to make. How did you get into Hearthstone originally?
I'm just like looking at my little finger tattoos.
We got a question about the finger tattoos coming up a little bit later on. So,
okay, sounds good. How did I get into Hearthstone? I was a huge World of Warcraft player. I've been playing since I was like 11 or 12, and I was really deeply involved. And so I got into the like the closed alpha of Hearthstone because they just I high rolled that one. And I was like, I remember
you didn't pay $800 for the key like Riley's buddy. No.
I remember playing it casually. And then as time went on, I started playing a bit more and more. And the way I got most involved, honestly, was like I was playing in some open tournaments in college. And I saw that they had like they had this little 20 viewer stream that they like broadcast like the top eight of the tournament and some of the matches. And so I actually got involved in production first and foremost. Like I was playing the game, but I got involved in like production and then like on a small scale and then tournament organizing. And that's actually, on a much longer story, that's like how my career kind of kicked off is that, I was a full-time tournament organizer and event coordinator before I was a streamer. And so I kind of got into Hearthstone just from like the beta, but I got deeper into Hearthstone because I started running tournaments, and then I started going to tournaments, and like the tournaments that I didn't run, I kind of went to anyway because my friends were at, and so I was playing there, and that's definitely how I got a lot better at that game too.
And then one thing leads to another, and eventually, you know, you moved away from Hearthstone, started casting stuff at instant speed, then, oh, Mono Blue Tempo.
Now life is good. Now life is good. Started casting stuff at instant speed, and now life is good.
Never look back. our next question comes to us from Tony Perpophonix, and this one is another kind of origin question. Dennis, you want to read it out for us here?
How did you come up with Bloody as your username? I imagine it's a hotly contested name.
I imagine it's one that a question you get asked all the time.
Yeah, I get asked all the time, and I don't have a cool origin story for it. It was just like I was re-rolling to a druid in World of Warcraft, and I was 12 years old, and I was like, man, what would be a cool name?
Yep.
I thought Bloody Animal would be cool. So that was my druid's name. And then from that, like, all my characters started being named Bloody in one capacity or another. Oh, like
Bloody X. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Until eventually it was just Bloody.
If I was priced into the usernames I picked when I was that age, like, you would be sitting here with El Culo Magnifico as my Twitter handle. Like, straight up.
I just want to congratulate someone who has stuck with a name they came up with when they were literally 12. Like, that is...
Thank you.
That's rock solid. Like, I don't know how you... That's huge, because everyone goes through, like mine was... Oh, I don't know
what I want to hear this.
Mine. Oh, no, I want to hear it too. Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So mine started off fine. It started with the letter R. Riley. That's fine, right? R, good. No problem there. R, underscore. Underscores were huge in the early noughties.
Huge, yeah.
Big. Underscore did very well for themselves at that period in history. R underscore cool.
Okay. Going the LL Cool J route. All right.
R underscore cool. And then just because I needed everyone to know that I was 12, 89. R underscore cool, 89 at hotmail.com. And I'm glad I didn't stick with that.
I don't think you'd be who you were today if you were still R underscore cool, 89.
R underscore cool. I don't know. Everyone would have called you cool. That's the only way you'd be called cool nowadays, anyway.
Fucking get him. Get him.
Goodness. All right. I actually think that was a much better origin story than you giving it credit for.
Buddy. Yeah, for sure.
Like, really? Huh. I guess like the usernames you pick when you're 12, they happen to work out.
How many
people can say that?
Yeah, no one expects you to be like, my family was killed in a collapsed church in Slovakia and I was surrounded in a pool of dirt. Like, no one's looking for a superhero origin story.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, that's fair.
No, it's just the fact that you're one of the very rare people who is like who got it right at age 12. Like, there's not many people who have that. No, it's.
I remember when we were in high school. We had to do this like career day thing, and everyone had to put down their email address. And I had like Dennis Stryak, at hotmail.com or whatever.
Mm.
And Megan, a girl I knew who went right after me, she was like, "Do we have to use our real email address?" And like, she was like, "Okay," and she was like, "SXC Tomato," and I was like, "Your name is Sexy Tomato @gmail.com." And she was like, "It's the only email address I have. I don't know. Oh, I'm 16." Like,
just putting that on like a job application or something. Oh,
yeah, my sister's my sister's was Miss Murder XXX93,
like the AFI
for the
song.
Longest time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, and then she had to make it better. I remember her version of better was, it was Anime Goddess Ariel.
Oh!
That's a step up?
No, but you know what?
In her eyes, yes, sure.
Yeah, at the time, it was more tame, I guess, because I had her name in it.
You can never, like, you are one of the chosen few, Bloody, who actually, like, I can't, like, against, like, Sexy Tomato and Anime Goddess, you're like, no, Bloody. And, you know, however many years later, you are still using it. So, no, hats off to you. That's incredible.
No, I was talking about it yesterday, is that, like, I identify with Bloody as my own first name more than my own first name. Is like, Gianna is, like, something that, like, close friends or, like, my sister calls me. And then everyone else calls me Bloody. Like, all my local friends call me Bloody, too. So, it's like...
You mentioned here. Riley called you Gianna at the start, and you were like, who?
Yeah, I know. It's,
who's she? Like, she sounds cool.
Like, I know, right? No, like, my own inner monologue is like, I'm like doing something difficult, and I'm like, come on, Bloody, you got this.
That's
and I'm
so
like,
good.
Really? Did I do that?
Yeah, that happens. I got a friend called Stabby.
I don't know Stabby's real name. I've talked to Stabby a bunch.
when, and this isn't like his online handle, it's just like when he's introduced to people, he's like, "Hi, I'm Michaels," and it was like, "He's Stabby, stop it, Michael." Yeah. Not, like, no one calls him that. He's Stabby.
No, I got in the car. So some friends and I were gonna go pick up some food, and they had their other friend in the car. We were all gonna go hang out, and I just met her, and she was like, "You know, hi, nice to meet you." And I'm like, "Hi, I'm Bloody. Yeah, I'm Bloody.
Yeah, yeah."
And they're like, "Are you okay?"
Yeah.
I happened to meet the other day. I had a meeting with that had Huey in it, William Huey Jensen, and he joined, and it was like Billy has joined the meeting, and I was like, "Whoa, okay, I don't know about Billy."
I actually played World of Warcraft with Huey and Shahar.
Huey's
over the summer.
Way deep in the WoW hole.
Oh yeah, I know. I played with them for only about 3 months, and that was as deep as I could get. And it was weird because Shahar kept on calling him Billy, and no one knew who he was talking about.
Yeah, I buy that.
I always had to think about it. Like when you were like Billy, I was like Billy, William. Right? Yes, Huey. Okay. Yeah.
And like I remember when the expansion came out over the summer. He was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to be here at all next week." And and Jeff was like, "Oh, you're going on vacation?" He's like, "To like Azeroth of sorts." Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In a way, right, I'll be vacating.
We got another question here. This one comes from Specs554, and Specs asks, what's your favorite non-Magic game that you have never streamed? So, like, in other words, what's your, like, just-for-you game that you use to, like, wind down or relax? Like, a game that you don't stream or play for anyone else?
I don't tend to do that. I do have an answer, but as far as, like, wind down to, I just kind of wind down with, like, anime or, like, things that aren't games. I need, like, brain to no do any thinky, like, when I'm done with stream.
Just like, let some, like, No Hero Academia wash over you or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. A friend of mine, just, like, good quote is, like, the brain think it. You think thinkin't. Not. You
the
think
brain thinking, yes, yes.
But, yeah, no, so as far as my favorite game off stream that I've never streamed before, probably Super Smash Bros. Melee. It's not something that I could, like, play alone, but it's really fun.
Man, Dennis and I don't know if you've heard of the tragedy of Dennis and I when it comes to Super Smash Brothers.
It is not a story
really
Jedi
bad,
would tell you.
Slightly less bad? Or?
Very close, honestly.
Basically, but we have the exact worst possible differential between our skills, right? Like, it's not that Dennis is a little bit better than me. He's better than me to the point that I can't beat him, so it's not fun. But he's not good enough
to
actually
possibly
like play
like a tournament or even like meaningfully online
or just
like,
online.
But I'm so much.
I'm, you.
I'm sure you'd be. I mean, I was about to say, I'm sure you'd beat the snot out of me, but I was sure Adam Savadan would too. Fighting game connoisseur, and I beat the crap out of him. So I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I worked at a startup, a tournament organizing startup called Smash GG. And
oh wow, okay.
Yeah, no, I learned Melee there. I'd really never played before, but I learned Melee from like. Proclaimed, not self-proclaimed, but like outwardly proclaimed the weirdest player in Melee. So I play very weird.
I need some more words in this story.
Yeah,
what do you mean
the weirdest player in Melee? Not he as a person is the weirdest.
The way he plays, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. His name is Matt.Zeb, and there's like combo videos of him just doing the weirdest things. Like he would like, in a tournament set, he would like forward smash 9 times in a row. And like every single time, their opponent would be like, oh, he's not gonna do it again. He does it again.
Yes.
Yep.
I love the
dumbest play, and so that's how I learned Melee. So
I'm going to go and say I do not want to play Super Smash Bros. Because I will get my face kicked in, and I'm not going to try to posture like Dennis. And
like we would play Brawl, and I would like up B as Ike, and Righty just can't handle it. Basically,
I don't want to talk about it, man.
I've been Melee so long. That's another post quarantine thing to do is like go to like a local Melee tournament.
We used to play, I remember when I was a kid, my buddy had a shed, and like houses in Ireland are much smaller than houses in the US. So when I say shed, I mean it is like the size of the room I'm in now, generously. Mm-hmm. And he had like a shitty old CRT and like a GameCube. And I say, like, there was like a normal TV at the time. He had a GameCube.
Oh, yeah,
in there.
No, I mean, CRTs are like how Melee is meant to be played. Right?
Exactly. Like, we would sit there on like deck chairs, 8 people packed in like sardines, playing Melee or playing Resident Evil 4 and just like screaming our asses off. It was so good. It was premium, like, summer gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is premium. Anytime anyone played Melee, they would always play with the CRT. That's kind of like... I mean, they have monitors now that, like, you know, are pretty much the same response time, but I think the real vintage and classic feel of it is
The big gray.
Everyone is a really big melee enthusiast. They have a huge CRT in their house.
I've seen like the kits that they bring to the big tournaments where they come with like it's a
massive, like, we're at DreamHack and stuff.
And there's always one kid who has like a SpongeBob CRT. It's great. Every time, like any melee tournament without fail, you'll find one SpongeBob CRT.
We got a question here from Lasko. Dennis, you want to hit us up with that?
How do you find drive to keep going on the days where streaming / playing Magic feels hard / impossible / undesirable?
Man,
hard total shift. Let's switch in lanes, baby.
Super Smash Brothers melee to existential crises.
When you stare into the void, the buddy, doesn't stare back at you.
From one to the other, but no. So when it's
how do I forward smash my troubles away?
So first and foremost, on days when it's really hard, you just don't, right? Like you got to give yourself time to just unwind. And if it really feels like you can't do a thing, don't do the thing. It's like, it's not very healthy to force yourself to do stuff over an extended period of time. But certainly there's a lot of like, I don't really feel like it, but I'm still going to do the thing. And I think the thing that keeps me going there is like, so I'll give it on a stream basis and then I'll give it on a Magic basis. On a stream basis, actually I'll give Magic basis first. Sometimes if I don't want to play Magic, I try to dig into why. Like, is it because there's no tournaments? Is it because I don't like the format I'm playing? Like, what is it that I'm not enjoying and how can I enjoy it? I mean, sometimes the meta just is in an undesirable spot and you just need to take a little bit of time. But sometimes it's as easy as just like switching things up. Like I just recently got into like Kaldheim Limited and I'm never really a limited player, but that was like really fun and fresh for like a few weeks of just like, I was jamming drafts every day. That's like not normally my style. And people were tuning in like, why are you still drafting? And I'm like, it's fun. So like Magic's a huge game. I think when you get a little tired of it, there's a lot of value. There's certainly a lot of value in like taking a step back, but there's a lot of value in just like shifting gears because so many different avenues of Magic are so fundamentally different from one another that it's almost like you're playing a different card game. But yeah, but as far as streaming goes, I think the thing that keeps me going if I'm not having the best day or if I'm not really feeling it is knowing like the impact that I'll have on other people is that's kind of it's like extremely cheesy and I wouldn't say it if it wasn't exactly the case, but I think the biggest like drive in my brain and in my heart is like I like helping people. I like making people happy and like meaningfully happy, and I think that when I'm streaming, I just like give off good vibes, and I know that if I'm not having a great day, and I sit down and stream, and you know, I'm just, I don't force happy vibes or anything. I just hang out, interact with chat, and that in turn kind of puts a smile on my face because I know that the chill vibes that I'm giving out are putting a smile on their faces, and it's kind of this cycle that like I just have to hop into. Is like, if me sitting down and turning my stream on just helps someone, like one person who's having a bad day, have a better day, that's like so much power. Like that's crazy. Mm. Like, I would do that, you know, I do that every day of the week. Obviously for myself, but that I think that that's the biggest thing that I remind myself is that like the things I do make other people happy. And that's like such a unique ability to be able to have at your work. So,
yeah. And one of the things that I initially struggled with when I moved to content creation, Dennis, we've talked about this, you know, like personally, like obviously Dennis and I are very close. We discussed this sort of stuff. But like one of the issues that I had, and one of the things that really helped me when I got into streaming was, you know, I'd put out videos, I'd put out content, whatever else. And sure, people make comments and whatever else, but there was no direct access to actually the audience that you had. And you didn't really feel it's like, well, is this actually impacting someone? But I know exactly what you're saying, Bloody, because I have the same thing. Like when I stream and when someone comes in and is like, man, I was having a bad day, but now you're streaming. So it's all uphill for like, well, not uphill. It's all like, man, it's bad if it's downhill or uphill, right?
Yeah,
it's all
downhill. Things can go downhill and be an uphill struggle.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's you know, like my day's going to get a lot better, and that's as you say, like it's interesting the word that you use, powerful. Like it's such a powerful thing to be able to contribute to people. You know, just to put a smile on their face, or they've had a tough day at work, or they know they're going to have a tough day, or whatever. Like, and just being there as something that, you know, maybe is going to put
that's
a smile
it.
On their
the,
face.
The real power move is the friends you made along the way, really.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
It's funny because I actually really wanted to be a teacher my whole life for like very much so the same reasons. And,
Riley used to be a teacher. So,
and that
really?
Was what I was missing. Cause I went from teaching a room of, you know, of 20 kids, all of whom, you know, most of whom I got on really well with or had a good relationship with, or, you know, and you'd see them grow and develop. And like, if the kids left the classroom at the end of the day with a smile on their face, like that day was worth it no matter what I did. Right.
For sure.
And then I went to content creation and I'd put out a YouTube video and it would have like, you know, a couple of thousand people watching it, some thumbs up, some likes, some subscribes, whatever else. It's like, well, this doesn't feel
Yeah, but then
real.
In Twitch chat, like you could tell when someone comes in with a sour mood and leaves with a better mood. I mean,
and
like
it's
easy.
You know? Yeah. But it is tough, like, you know, like what you said to begin with, sometimes if it's just not on, if you can't do it, you just shouldn't do it, but it can be exhausting, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing with content creation is it enforces a very unhealthy mindset of every day I'm not working, I'm not growing, and I'm, like, actively, like, you know, losing viewers or followers or whatever it may be. And so it takes a lot of mental coordination and, like, healthy mental coordination to be able to kind of traverse the field of content creation without burning yourself out along the way. Yep. And I certainly... Yeah. You know, I took like a month and a half off in the summer. I just took a month off, but that was more for surgery than anything else. Mm-hmm. But that month and a half off in the summer, I was not right. And I definitely had like two therapy sessions a week to really like straighten out just my mental health revolving around streaming, because it had been, you know, a year and a half with not too much break, but I noticed that I was starting to just like not want to stream anymore. Like the burnout was like accumulating. And so I think the best advice for streamers is, like, you know, of course, by the books, streaming every day is great for your stream. It will grow your stream, but
doesn't cost nothing though. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Long-term sustainability is the most important thing. I see people stream every single day and then suddenly they just disappear.
Yeah. Like, how long is that going to last? Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You got to do something that is, you know, conducive to emotional growth as well as, you know, your stream growth. You got to make sure that you like build in a healthy way. It's like, it's basically like working out with proper form. It's like, sure, you can do more weight if you're doing like sloppy form, but like you could hurt yourself real bad, or you could just, you know, build really bad habits. And it's just like, it's actually not worth it. It's like more worth taking your time and doing only what you can handle, kind of thing.
Yeah. Keeping it a sustainable pace. And this is sort of a transferable skill that you need in a lot of industries, but it does really evidence itself in streaming or any, especially when you're self-employed, you know, and there's no boss there to tell you either to work harder or go home if they're a good boss. So yeah, it can be really tough. We've got another more serious question here as well that comes in from Jan Liberated, who's a regular in my Discord here. And Jan Liberated asks, how do you feel diversity in Magic has changed over the time that you've been playing? And what are some of the things that content creators and these are her words and not mine, us regular schmucks,
civilians,
can do to help move forward that diversity? We've seen, you know, stuff change a lot in the last year or so. What do you make of this sort of stuff?
So I mean, I think things have changed a lot. I mean, when I got to Magic, it was a very like healthy time for diversity, sort of. But I came to Magic just about 1 week before Autumn won the Mythic Championship.
With the same deck that you started with as well. Yeah.
And I was like, just like me.
Woo Autumn, like boo Terramander, basically.
Terramander can. Nah.
Scary Terry is a beautiful little soul. I will protect them. But anyway, and so already I was like, wow, this is more diversity I've seen in the game ever, probably, already. And so that it was really nice to see Autumn get kind of the highlight there. But certainly between then and now, things have changed a lot in just like looking at tournaments, like tournament Twitch chats. Like Twitch chats are usually quite rancid places when it's like on a very large scale and difficult to moderate. And certainly I think a few different avenues, like looking at Twitch chats like from then versus now, for like big tournaments, I think they're like infinitely more tame. I think like on whatever scale people have been filtered through the Magic system, I think the creators who put out content have like on average, and have built up a lot more like zero tolerance for schmucks. Not the good schmucks, the bad schmucks.
The bad schmucks.
For jerks, really. And I think I've seen this across the board a lot just in the 2 years that I've been playing Magic. Is like, I think 2 years ago there would be a lot more people who just let kind of shitty behavior slide.
If they weren't endorsing it, it was just the sort of thing they'd be it's not my battle to fight. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Or something as you know, it seems minor to people, but it's not, like it's kind of a big deal. Of just like a lot of content creators have definitely like made the use of they them for opponents mainstream. That was something that was like I was one of the first ones to be like, all right, let's drag away from this kind of situation. Like one of the first streamers to just like strictly use they, and then it definitely ripple affected from people who have felt the effect of it before, because definitely folks who are like folks who are trans or non-binary, like, you know, firsthand felt kind of the pain of getting misgendered accidentally. And like, I think that's something that was like certainly a lot more widespread too. Now, I think like pretty much every streamer that I watch, whether they're part of some marginalized group or not, they're just like really good about that stuff. And
has entered my vernacular really, really pervasively. Like so much so that I am now infinitely more likely to call someone who I know has preferred like he, his, or she, her pronouns they by accident than the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, no, constantly. I like, yeah, even if I know people's pronouns, I think my brain has just hard shifted to they, them.
And it, well, it's just and a safer fine. Bet. Like you yeah. can basically well, never be wrong, right?
The yeah. argument that the argument that I always use, because you know, okay, like my chat's obviously great with this sort of stuff, but like mm-hmm. occasionally you get people who come in and they're saying stuff, and I've got an emote. Which is use they please. But when people like argue with me or push back on with me about it, like I'm often like, well, listen, you're a Magic player, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to play optimally. You want to be correct. You want to make the best play at the we don't know the opponent's gender. We don't know the opponent's pronouns.
You're so hedging.
You yeah. should be playing around it. You don't want to yeah. be. You don't want to get it wrong. You should be funny. Playing around it. You know, you can never be wrong with they them.
That's pretty funny.
And it's an argument that I think it you know, for some people who don't necessarily think about maybe perhaps the social impact of their words when they're mm-hmm. thinking about, oh, but I could be technically correct here, which is the best kind of correct. So, but yeah. I agree with you. Like it is, it's a thing that I think has just entered, like that's just one example, but there are so many other examples of oh, stuff sure. that has like entered the consciousness of, you know, broadly the Magic community. I mean, there yeah. are.
No, I mean, as far as content creation goes, I'm happy that like a lot of the top end has, you know, shifted to it, because that mm-hmm. kind of stuff trickles down over time. And mm-hmm. you might not see every Magic player doing it proper, but, you know, on average, if your favorite streamer is using they, them a lot, it might just start getting hammered into your brain, you know?
And if you're consuming like 15 hours of content from them a week or whatever, I think 1,000% it will. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I think is like really important for people to understand is like, in the context of using proper pronouns or just like accommodating to marginalized communities, is like there's a huge stigma of like people get offended, and that's something that I've been like trying to break down over my whole time of streaming. Is it's not really that people get offended, people just get sad. Like it's a lot, it kind of hits a little deeper when people think about like, you know, there's like a misconception of like, oh, they're going to get angry at me and come running at me with a pitchfork. It's like, no, you just might make like bum someone's day
bum
out.
Me
like,
out. Yeah.
Someone's day could just be really sad because you didn't think for like 0.5 seconds, a little bit extra to accommodate for communities that are already like the minority and heavily marginalized. And you know, it just takes like an extra second in certain interactions to just make sure you don't make someone's day really shitty. And I think
it's a very low cost to pay. Yeah, it's a very low cost to pay that can have a very high. Well, it's basically it's essential. Like it's the cost is so low, it's negligible. It's basically free.
Yeah.
And it can have a very big impact on other people.
Yeah, so, and yeah. That's just the biggest difference is that like people get defensive. They'd be like, oh, you know, like people are gonna get mad at me. And it's like, no, you're just gonna bum someone out. Like, do you really want to do that? And then they're like, oh,
that does hit harder because I think yeah. it is easy to be defensive if you're if you are expecting the other person to go on the offense. Yeah. But if you're expecting the other person to just be like, oh, that sucks, that's yeah. that's a pretty like deflating emotion.
You know, now there's no longer two belligerents fighting about it, there's one belligerent and the other person is just kind of like, oh,
just right. sad. Yeah,
yeah. And I think that hits a little deeper because like,
yeah,
you know, no one wants to bomb anyone else out. That sucks.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that. I want to loop back to what you said at the start, which was like right when you started playing when Autumn won the championship. Is Riley, do you remember you and I were there? That was
yeah,
in Cleveland.
I was doing coverage, yeah.
Yeah, it was bananas. It was like the energy, like I've never seen more people watching like gathered around and like watching on the TV, you know, 20 feet away from the feature match area, than watching like mm-hmm. Autumn, so I can't remember who she was playing against, stare their poor opponent out of it, just stick the absolute death stare across the table. I would never want to play against Autumn.
No,
honestly,
I'm saving into that. No.
I have played against Autumn, and I would love to play against Autumn more. I'm very much so like a sucker for like I want to play the best people ever and
yeah,
just like
yeah.
have
I tell a lot
the sickest matches.
I played against Autumn once in a side event. I think it was right after they won, actually.
Oh
and
my
it
gosh.
Was horrifying. Like they like the yeah. intensity is just I can't
I'd
I can't
never,
like,
I'd never want to do it.
I no. can't deal with it. And it was like
I'm way too much of a coward, man. I don't want to deal with that.
It is very easy to get in Riley's head, honestly. And I think
Don't hand the keys to the kingdom to another person, Dennis. All right, I don't need someone.
Hey, Riley,
I
mean, if I end up playing, you want to play poker sometime?
Oh my god, there's two parts there. It is very easy to get in Riley's head, and Riley is so unbelievably gambling averse, you would never get him.
But the thing, the only advantage I think I'd have in poker is that I know that poker is basically just like memorizing a bunch of spreadsheets and like doing what you're supposed to do a bunch of the time, and I would just act randomly. So like,
you would forward smash nine times in a row.
It's the equivalent of someone who is like main phasing their giant growths, and you're like, okay, what do they have? Why have they? Now, what have they done here? It's like, no, I just cast it as a sorcery. Like, there's nothing else going on.
The best poker players are either the like most seasoned pros or complete beginners.
Yes,
because you can't figure out what either of them
exactly.
are doing.
Yeah,
I remember playing with a buddy of mine, and they played like one of the we played a group of guys, right? And one of the guys played like with people who like play on the World Series like regularly. And like had like one bracelets and is like really good. And the other guy, it was literally his first time ever playing poker. And we were just playing like a sit and go based like a cash game. And we got to the very end of it and it was Marco and Alex. And I was like, okay, Marco, you are never, ever, 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 ever going to beat Alex heads up. It's just not going to happen. So the only way to do it is to literally not look at your hole cards,
not look at the cards.
And just go all in every hand. And like Alex is going to fold until he gets, you know, like gets, you know, a pocket pair or whatever, and you just hope you have two over cards and win the coin flip, and that's the only way you're gonna do it. And he won, and Alex was so tilted, so unbelievably tilted.
It's so good.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's what I'd do. That's what I'd do, blood. If we fought at
poker, entered the battle.
That's not. I guess that's not what you do in poker. You play poker.
You see the flop and you punch each other in the face.
Yeah. Bam! Yeah, I would love
the first person
I love
the chips.
I love playing poker, but I play poker like 10% more than basically any of my other friends, and bloody I would be terrified to play poker with you.
Oh, yeah. I love playing poker. It's great.
Anybody who describes themselves as like into poker or a poker enthusiast is too good at the game for me to play with them, straight up. Yes. Like,
oh, it's so much fun. That's one of the first things I'm gonna do once my like vaccine fully kicks in is just like go to a local poker room and steal people's money. Not like actually steal their money, just like beat it out of them.
No, that sounds much more reliable.
Much faster. Probably time for dinner
after.
That's
way better. Just do that. Just go around pickpocketing people while they're deep, you know, they're deep in the tank. We got another question. We talk about the games that you love, and this is actually a conversation that we've had, you and I, bloody. We had this at a, I think it was a GP. I can't remember. I remember asking you this question, though. This question comes to us from Nikki. Bloody has Magic and Hearthstone tattoos on her fingers, I think. Mm-hmm. What two other games are in the running for her fingers, and what would Dennis and Riley get as their gaming finger tattoos? Dennis, let's come back to the hour half of the question after this. I'm going to go deep into my memory palace here and check in with my knowledge of the bloody lore, because you've got Magic and Hearthstone, and to my knowledge, you've got another game on another finger, which I think is World of Warcraft.
It is.
Yes,
and one of them is and your ring finger. We're seeing it now on the camera. And your ring finger is blank, and I believe I also know the reason for that. But if you want to tell the story,
there's not much of a story. No, go ahead.
So I this is what I remember you telling me. You're saving that one for when you get married.
Yeah.
The greatest game of all.
To wear a ring on or to get a tattoo on?
No, I'm gonna get a ring. I'm gonna get a ring on it. I just think it would be silly to like put a game tattoo and be like,
and
"All right, sorry, buddy, you're covered for life.
Yeah,
goodbye."
You can pick a game you don't really care about. Like, that's probably fine.
I'll put artifact in that finger.
Yeah.
Oh
no.
They'll be like, "What's that?" And I'll be like, "We don't talk about that one."
Well, I guess okay. Let's expand Nikki's question a little bit, right? For whatever reason, you've got to now put tattoos on your other hand.
You got
on
four
all
more.
The fingers of, you've got four more, all right? Mm. You got to do it. They're banning tattoos worldwide tomorrow. You've got to get
it.
Them
yeah.
done.
Oh,
like you can never get new tattoos after tomorrow. You got to fill these four fingers in. What are you going to
do? Does Smash make the cut? It's a good symbol.
Smash definitely makes the cut. Right, so am I going just games or can I do any symbols?
Let's do anything. Any symbols. There you go. You got to
fill
them.
You got a poker
them,
one, I think, would be reasonable. You get a spade or something.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing of it is like, okay, so if I were to go with games, I would definitely do melee, just like the melee symbol. I think I would probably put a clover just because that works hand in hand with poker and also one of my favorite anime, Black Clover. And cool. I might do the other ones with anime, honestly. But if it had to be, games, let's see. Okay, so there's
you can cheat and just do the four suits if you wanted.
I could, but other people have done that. And I want to always have unique thingies, you know?
It's so important to have unique thingies, especially in these times.
Today,
that's the podcast. That's the name of the episode. 100% unique thingies.
Having unique thingies.
I love it. Gosh, what else? I mean, maybe a little Among Us murder bean, or maybe you know, once they've been killed, how it's just a little ham lying on the ground. Maybe I'll just get
with
the
bone sticking out. I like that. That's very good.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And then let's see, one more game. What is one more game that I've played? I haven't played.
Do you ever play Pokemon? Little Pokemon?
Oh yeah, Pokemon. That's right. I played a lot of Pokemon. Yeah. Okay. So it would be Pokemon. It would be poker. It would be Melee, and it would be Among Us.
Millennium Puzzle doesn't make the cut.
No, unfortunately. I mean,
I made Riley watch on this podcast. A couple months ago, I made Riley watch most of the first season of the anime because I loved it when I was a kid. And he was like, what is this about? And I was like, okay, so imagine I'm going to put it in magic terms, Riley, so you understand. I was like, imagine you work in a local game store and then, you know, Richard Garfield invites you to a tournament and tries to whisk you away by kidnapping your grandfather's soul. And your greatest rival is the CEO of Ultra Pro, I guess. And he launches a nuclear missile into the Wizards of the Coast satellite and all this stuff. And Ronnie's like, what is this show about? I thought it was about card games.
And then we watched it, and that's exactly what it was. So
I mean, honestly, I feel like the best description you could have given is just looping back to that poker game of your friend who went all in without looking at the cards. I think that's all you need to give.
That's all you need.
Yep.
Turns out if you have an ancient Egyptian prince who lives inside a pyramid on your chest, you can win a lot of games.
Yeah, that's my secret, but don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody. But more importantly, if they haven't written the rules of the game by the time they write the anime, that also helps too.
True.
All right, Dennis, what about you and me? We better answer our half the question.
Well, for me,
I have a Pokemon tattoo already, so I don't know if I can cheat by putting that on my knuckles as well.
What does it look like?
I've got a. I can show. I've got
take it off.
All right, Dennis, you do your knuckles while I'm.
Well, I mean, it sucks because, speaking as a fat white dude, I don't think tattoos look good on fat white dudes. But if I had to get, you got a missing no.
I got a missing. I'm showing Buddy now my missing no tattoo. It's not in focus, but
it's not in focus for some reason.
It looks like a purple QR code, but it's missing.
Oh no, I know what missing no is. No, I can recognize the shape
from the Cinnabar Island item duping glitch. So,
I love that.
You've got a bunch. Don't you have a Zelda one too?
I don't have a Zelda tattoo. No,
I thought you did. You Star Wars ones.
I guess Star Wars. I think I'd be a little bit of a fraud if I put this. I love Zelda, but I came to the Zelda party very late. Breath of the Wild is my favorite Zelda game. I think I'd get a lot of hate for.
I'd have
Zelda
to get
tattoo.
A Metal Gear tattoo. I'd have to get an exclamation mark. The problem is having an exclamation mark. I think it looks like in isolation, an exclamation mark looks like an alt-right symbol to have on your hand. I think there's not enough context there.
This happened to me literally today. Right, I walked past a guy. I was on my way to the supermarket to get some bits, and in the park there was a guy who was walking down. He was bald. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was wearing a black t-shirt with a white symbol on it. And I don't know what the symbol meant, but I was just like, that looks like a neo-fascist. That looks like an alt-right. I didn't know what the symbol was, but I was like, this guy screams alt-right to me. But I think that's right, an exclamation point.
If
on
I had
finger,
just an exclamation point on my left ring finger, people were like, what's that? And I think it's a bad look.
Yeah. You could get Foxhound. You could get the Kojima production.
Little Fox is probably better.
Yeah,
that's true.
That works. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What other games do I really care about?
I think mine would have to have on your body forever.
I have no tattoos because I don't care about anything to have them on my body forever. Personally, I am not convinced that anything I care about now, I will still care about in 5 years, and that is a negative aspect of my character. Not like
I'd have to go Pokemon, Elder Scrolls,
little septum,
something like that. Yeah, something like that. Pokemon, Elder Scrolls, probably Magic. Based on hours played. I mean, I'm trying to diversify a little bit, but I think I'd have to. Yep, I'd have to get a little.
Yours look great, honestly.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Just like bloody, and I don't know if the last one. I don't know. Return of the Obra Dinn, the Subnautica logo. This is recency bias, but I'm into
it's hard. It's
yeah.
It's
not
a
Halo
thing to come up with. You could think about it forever.
wouldn't be Halo. I liked Halo a lot, but Halo is not like Halo is on the same level as Zelda for me. It's like a second tier. It's not like it's not an all timer.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing is that like I'm only going to get tattoos of things that really resonate, like have a lot of emotional significance.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And as far as my tattoos go, like I always spend at least like a year thinking about whatever I'm going to get.
Mine is the same thing.
Can I tell you? So I went, when I was 18, right, I was like, I'm going to get a mountain goats tattoo. And a friend of mine who was a bit older had a bunch of tattoos, right, heaps of them. And he was like, get it in a year. Yeah. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, if you think you want to get a tattoo, wait 1 year before you get it. Give yourself that amount of time to think about it. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like a couple of weeks. Sure. He's like, no, seriously, a year, right? Yeah. So I waited a year. I was 19 and I got it. I got it. I waited the year. And
you've regretted it ever since.
That one I don't regret. I've got some other tattoos I didn't wait a year for and I'm kind of like, well.
What tattoos do you regret? I don't think we ever talked about this.
I don't like, so I got D&D dice done down the inside of my left arm and I don't like them. I love D&D and I like the dice. I just don't like how it looks.
Show the dice. Show the dice.
I mean, this is only an audience of two.
It's only for bloody. For everyone at home, Riley is currently naked.
I know, like, I had to strip off completely.
He's naked and T-posing in the middle of the room.
I look like a 20 a Cyberpunk 2077 visual bug right now. Yeah. That's what it looks like. It's interesting that you said the 1 year thing, because that's exactly the experience I had with tattoos as well.
No, and it helped that the tattoo artist that I really like is like extremely booked out. So even if I want to do like a rush job, it's still
you
like...
You can't impulse it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like at least 6 to 8 months. So that was like... You know, my first big tattoo was like my shoulder tattoo, and I waited like a year for that. And then, you know, all these ones on my arm, my whole sleeve is like, I came to him with the idea of the sleeve 13 months before I got the sleeve started. And then it was like, you know, every month I got like another piece on. But like I sat on that for a full year before I got it. And like I have zero regrets. Like I'm extremely happy with how it turned out. But like if I did that right away, it would have looked different and I probably wouldn't have been as happy with it.
Yep. It's good advice. If you're thinking about getting a tattoo... Wait a year.
A buddy of mine
does
not do that.
It'll be on you the rest of your life. A year is nothing in comparison to like your whole life.
I hope Darren never listens to this podcast, but he has a bunch of tattoos and he has one on his like flank, I guess, the entire length of his like rib. And it's just a giant. From like his belly button up to like nipple, but all on the side.
Yeah.
And it's just like a giant blue owl. And he's like, it's cool, but he's like, he doesn't have any particular affiliation to owls. Didn't like design it himself. And he's just like, and then he's just like, yeah, I don't know. I have the owl. And I'm like, dude, it was like, first of all, it was like $600. Second of all, like, why did you do it?
Cheap. That's really cheap. That's like suspicious. That's suspiciously cheap.
Mm-hmm. It might have been more. I think it probably was like $600 though.
That's not a lot of money, man.
I know.
That's so like such a cheap price that I'm actually very worried about it.
I mean, how it looks.
That's the other piece of advice. I'm sure Bloody's going to back me up on this one. The other piece of advice I would give you with tattoos, if you think
not
about getting tattoos,
not skimp on that. Yeah.
Is when you go and like shop around, don't go to the cheapest one. If anything, go to the most expensive one.
Yeah. My sleeve was a very expensive sleeve. I won't say how expensive it was.
That's fine, but
figure.
But here's the thing, in terms of ROI. I mean, you pay $20 to get into a movie, you're entertained for the next hour and a half. That's not a great, you know, that's not great. You pay $1,000 for a tattoo, that sucker's on the rest of your life, mate.
Yeah, I look at my tattoos in amazement every single day because it's all dot work too. So it's like, you never get bored of it. I just get to like stare at all the cute little dots and stuff on them and it's just infinite.
And you get it for a lot. There's not much that you can buy that will last you as long.
Yeah.
You know,
you would have to like lose an arm, basically, right? Like,
yeah. If you lose your arm in a horrible poker accident because you know you're caught pickpocketing, and we go back to the King's Justice, and you get
it's like me out on this one.
It's like in Red Dead Redemption 1 where they catch you cheating and they just do this and challenge you to a duel in the street.
Yeah. But assuming that doesn't happen, then you're probably going to be good. We got another question here. This one comes to us from Sean. We know you got into Magic only relatively recently, the last couple of years here, but Sean wants to know, do you like Commander? And if so, do you have a favorite deck? And a follow-up question here as well. One of the podcast hosts thinks it's great and one thinks it's terrible. What are your thoughts? And can you guess which one is which?
One of us thinks Commander's great and one of us thinks it's trash, basically.
Well, by the way, you said trash. I want to think that it's you, Dennis.
I hate it. I hate Commander so much. Please go to chanfarba.com and buy all your Commander cards, but it sucks. I hate it.
Buy all the Commander cards so Dennis doesn't have to do it. Do you play Commander Bloody?
So I was going to play Commander. I was actually invited to, I won't name it, but like a, you know, like a, one of those YouTube Commander shows. I was invited to fly out there and play with them, and it was great. And that was right before...
Game Nights?
Yeah.
You can say Game Nights.
Okay, all right, fine, yeah. Anyway, Nights, I mean, it's been like a year. Well, the point of it is that they invited me out right before quarantine hit. And, you know, rip that. And the problem was I was like so geared up to go to my LGS and like learn Commander with all, you know, with all the friends there and stuff like that. And I just never got the chance to. And so exactly when I wanted to play Commander is exactly when I just got locked up in my house. And personally, I know I could play Commander online. I kind of want my first Commander experience to just be with my friends drinking, like having a fun time.
Yes, for sure.
As far as the Commander that I want, I think I figured out in Kaldheim Limited that Torolf would be a really funny commander because
I'd be happy to hear that.
I exactly once was able to like actually play the card and then like I like squashed a creature and it squashed like five other creatures and it was just it was really nice and I was like this
is what
hilarious.
Magic's all about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. What if I play that and then like Star of Extinction and then just explode everybody? Like that'd be amazing.
And that's why Commander's so great because you can take cards like that and take them to the. But look, I agree. Bloody, like, I love Commander. I got a bunch of Commander decks. I don't play online very much. I tried it, and I was just like, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And
it could tickle a lot of people's fancy, for sure. It's just not how I want to do.
Oh, it works for you, great, but yeah. I think we're on the same page there.
There's
I'm
one
not
thing I
want
to bring
you...
up here before we move too far off of it, and Bloody, I'm not sure if you know this, but Riley, we talked about it on the podcast a long time ago, but when Riley would have his friends over to play Commander, you know, he'd have friends over, like you said, have some drinks and stuff, put out some
why
snacks,
do this
right?
To me?
Riley would buy two tiers of snacks. He would buy the snacks he likes that he would keep for himself, and he'd buy the snacks he likes less to serve to his friends.
This is a misrepresentation, okay? This is a misrepresentation, Dennis. Bloody, let me explain what happens.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Explain.
There's a type of chip that I really like, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not very, it's not, you don't get them very often. They're salt and pepper chips, right? They're very nice, right? And I like them a lot, and I don't want to share them with people because when I get a bag of them, I buy them for me, for all myself, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll bring out the Doritos.
The decoy chips.
I'll bring out the other. It's not that they're lesser snacks. It's
they're
that
just
there
different.
Is a when my friends go to the snack, I'm like, oh, what are these? I'm like, oh, sorry, if you could just not, like, they're for me. Like, I just don't want.
They're for me.
I got my
name on them. You see this bowl? This says Riley. Does this say
yeah.
No. You go eat the peasant chips.
Yeah, right. So. This is the energy I was hoping to get from Bloody in response to this, honestly.
But I just think there's just some things that I just want for myself. And I don't know why I'm getting flavor.
I had a counter to this, which was buy two bags of the salt and pepper chips, you dick. I don't understand.
Yes, but then I want to eat two bags of the salt and pepper chips for myself.
So buy three bags of the salt and pepper. Why are you ever buying the lower tier?
I can understand because I have terrible self-control when it comes to buying like indulgences for my home.
Sure.
Like if I buy a pint of ice cream, that ice cream's gone within like a day.
You're just inhaling
like, I have
it, right?
Zero self-control. I will just sit there and watch anime and eat through like 2,000 calories of ice cream like it was nothing. Like I don't eat that much in like maybe 2 days, but I'll eat that much ice cream in like an hour. So I feel you. And that if you
Thank
buy
you.
Three chips, those are three bags of chips that you're gonna eat.
None of it's making it to the commander table.
None of it's making the commander table, Mm-mm. mate. I got a bag. Can I tell you this? I got a bag of salt and pepper chips in the cupboard right now. And guess where they're going? They're going in here. I mean, I don't have to share this. I couldn't share them with people in if I wanted to, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
They're my chips.
The principle of the thing.
No, see, I mean, I grew up in a Russian house. You know, Russian was actually my first language and all. And so my favorite foods growing up were extremely weird. So I had the benefit of, like, friends coming over and me being like, you want some of this? And them being like,
I had exactly the same thing because my parents are, and I was born in Yugoslavia and very similar. And, like, Croatian's my first language. And nobody wants, like, Nikki's, like, my fiance will be like, what do you want? Like, are there any like, traditional foods you want to make? And I'm like, yeah. So this is like a plum that you like batter and then you fry it and cover it in cinnamon. And she's like, what the fuck are you? Is that a dessert? What are you talking? Or like a weapon? What do you mean? And I'm like, no, knedle. It's great. What are you talking about? And she just, and like all the home remedy stuff is also stupid. She's like, what do you do if you get a fever? I'm like, well, you cut a potato, you soak it grappa, and then you wrap it over your forehead. And she's like, what? No. And I'm like, nah, doesn't get it.
Doesn't understand.
So normally, at the end of the podcast, we have a segment where we talk about video games that aren't Magic. But I have a counter.
Back it up. You are trying to avoid a question. We're asking this question, Dennis.
Whoa,
there's a question on the sheet here that Dennis is trying to avoid. This is the second question that comes to us from Tony Perfect Phoenix. Oh, yeah. And you'll understand after I ask it, why Dennis is trying to avoid it. Tony did send a couple of questions. This one was a cracker. it's a final question here. Bloody, if you were going to play Two-Headed Giant and your only options for teammates were unfortunately Dennis and Riley, who would you choose? You must answer.
I don't want to go through this.
You have to play Two-Headed Giant and it has to be with one of us.
I'm going to be the bigger man here. You can just pick Riley. I won't be offended. It's okay.
I don't know how that... I mean, that was what I was going to do anyway, so...
Yeah, so we're good. We're golden.
Thank you very much.
We're golden.
Of course. No, we're of course. Golden. Like, it makes a lot of sense.
Would I rather pick the guy who hates Commander or the guy who's fueled with fire and salt and pepper chips? I mean, it's like a clear answer.
Oh, well, that's got nothing. I mean, the salt... Don't bring the salt and pepper chips. Although, bloody, I'll share my salt and pepper chips with you if you pick me.
I don't have to bribe you. Once I'm on your team, that's it. We're a unit, you know?
I'm getting Eric Levine on the phone. That's collusion.
That's why she wants me as a teammate, because she wants access to those premium snacks.
We'll talk about it. Absolutely,
Dennis,
savage.
another victory for me, and this one wasn't even handled with, you know, Gabby's careful pretending to think about it. Bloody was just like, Riley, snap it off, love it. I appreciate it, Bloody. I do. I appreciate the honesty.
We could have had some lakras. We could have had some draniki. It would have been great. And now it's all over.
We could do that anyway. But also, those kind of get your hands dirty when you're playing Magic. I don't know.
That's very true. They're greasy.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to be playing with like alcohol fueled potatoes while playing two out of John or whatever. Anyway, Dennis, sorry, you were saying. I wanted to pivot
because we've spent a lot of time talking about video games that aren't Magic already.
Yes.
And Bloody's mentioned something a couple of times that I would that I have a tacit interest in that I would love to explore here. Sure. Which is bloody. If you were to prescribe Riley a crash course in anime, what would it be? Because Riley has zero interest in what he describes as animes, and I want to try and get over that hill.
So instead of Charizard Mia River this week, instead of talking about our favorite video games, we're going to do like
Boku no Hero Mia River or whatever. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm a huge weeb. My specialty is shonen, which is like anime targeted at, 15-year-old boys, because it has like those like male protagonists that start out weak and then they like, work out a bunch and go through a bunch of adventures and they end up the heroes and stuff. Like,
One Punch Man is kind of a parody of that, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Where you're just way too strong already.
Should I just go or like leave you two to talk about this?
You are rapidly approaching the limit of my anime knowledge, right? So you can't leave me behind.
Because you sound like you're dropping some hot anime references, and I'm like, yep, sure. I know the cowboy jazz music. What is it? Cowboy Bebop. I've heard of Umbrella Academy is not it. What is
That's
it?
No.
There's the school one. What's the school one?
My Hero Academia?
Assassination Classroom?
I mean, there's a lot of school animes.
Yeah, there's a lot of school.
Like, I mean, you can go like Oren High School Host Club if you want. That's a whole other spectrum.
See, you know lots of stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly Riley's cup of tea. I could see him in that anime.
All right,
Riley, could you Google Oren High School Host Club for me real quick?
Oren High School Hausken, what is it?
High school. If you just search High School Host Club, you'll get it.
High School Host Club. This is now on my Google like search history.
It's not
Oren
bad.
High School Host Club.
Yeah, I can see you as one of those characters.
Okay. All right.
It's basically, as I recall, I've never actually watched the show, but a buddy of mine loved it. As I recall, it is basically a show of like pseudo professional gentlemen, basically. Yeah. Right, bloody? That's kind of the crux.
Yeah. That's very accurate.
And you're just like a very, 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 very chivalrous. Your name is Knight. It fits perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you like present women with like roses and gifts and stuff.
You know.
So it's Weeb the Bachelor?
Yeah, kind of.
A bachelorette, I guess. Yeah,
I don't think they're ever actually trying to like end up with like any of their, with any of the women. I think the whole point is that they're just like, it's kind of their job to just like be gentlemen. And that's pretty much it. And like the girls swoon and stuff like that. And that's,
A group of six male students who gather to entertain female parentheses clients with sweets and tea.
Girls swooning over me is,
You get enough of that in real life.
Just art imitates life here, Dennis, by the sound of it for me.
I've never
been into anime, so if you want to try to sell me on it, you two, bloody, if you've got the sales pitch for anime, then I'm here to listen.
Well, here's the thing.
One of the animes you like is like the best entry level one.
Best entry level, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. That's definitely the best. That's definitely the best, like, normie takes a step into anime world.
Is that the one where the guy turns his daughter into a dog?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I do know, Samantha. I know a little bit. Okay, that's not bad.
That's right at the gates. That's right at the anime gates. That's, you know, that is.
You could probably watch Attack on Titan. That's probably accessible.
I actually have not watched Attack on Titan because the Titans spook me. And that's all. I mean,
they are, in your defense, terrifying. So, like,
yeah,
no.
So I haven't watched it because they're scary. So I
watched two seasons
it.
Of it. It's great. Riley, we should watch Attack on Titan together. I think you'd like it.
I would disagree with that being the first anime to get into, but you know what? I'm sure you'd, yeah.
It is hyper violent, I guess.
Yeah. So the thing I like about anime is that they contrive their storylines in such a manner that you can't quite put together with real people. Is that, like, you know, you're always going to be able to go the extra mile and do the extra badass thing that, like, you know, regular shows might not be able to do. It's like you're not restricted by anything. Anime or
reality,
just be whatever. Yeah. And so I found my genre. I love them fighting animes with the intense battles and, like, the character development and the wholesome feels. It's like that hits me very, very, you know, deep. And there's a lot of anime like that. I mean, currently I'm watching One Piece, which is notably the longest anime still running.
Well north of 1,000 episodes?
Yeah, it's just about 1,000 episodes. I'm 300 episodes in. I'm like one third of the way through the show.
Jeez.
So of course you don't have to get into One Piece. Full Metal Alchemist is definitely a really good starting point, but I mean, and I'm loving it. Like, anime is amazing. It's so good. It's popular for a reason. I'll say that. It's not like, you know, your one friend who likes anime watches it. It's like you go down your list of friends, and I guarantee you at least like 60 to 70% of the people you're closely acquainted with have at least watched one anime and probably enjoyed it. Like, it's just good. It's just good stuff.
I watched one of my ex-girlfriends was way into anime and like weirder stuff. Like, she was like obsessed with like Black Butler and like Dog and Scissors and stuff, and these are like odd, like significantly odder shows than what Bloody's trying to pitch you on here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're so fun.
Yeah, there's something for everyone for anime. I mean, like, my sister, when she came to visit, we watched a 12 episode show on just a girl who likes ramen, and it was actually really nice. It was just on a day to day. She would talk about she like. I don't know how to describe it other than she likes ramen, and it's just like her friends learn how much she likes ramen. And it's like, it sounds silly, but, you know, we had a lot of ramen during our trip, and it was very tasty.
I'm amazed I got 12 episodes out of that. That's incredible.
It's actually so good. Honestly, it's so good.
I think one of the biggest issues with anime and anime fans is just PR.
PR, wow, yeah.
Because, well, it's the same with history. I love history, but trying to sell people on history is like, it's boring, it's old, who cares, dates and whatever. But, like, every anime fan I've spoken to has this broadly speaking the same sort of line as Bloody on it. But the thing is, it's just like, it's the way that it's presented. And I have to say, like, full credit to Bloody for doing it in a way that doesn't immediately make me cringe so hard my teeth shatter. But, like, your typical anime fan is like, no, it's the best thing in the world. You've got to watch this. They'll reach their shelf, hand you a stack of 10 DVDs. Like, you've got to watch this. And you're like, I don't, it's fine. I really, no, take them.
It's a slog for the first 180 episodes, but then it really picks up, you know?
Did you watch them? Did you watch those DVDs, Gabby? Because they're so good. We can talk about it. It's like, I just you're too into this, man. You're too into it, and it's putting me off.
What if we just, like, watch Akira? Could you watch just a movie?
Well, that's the thing. There's also kind of the misconception of, like, the classics are the best gateways, which, like, Akira is a pretty weird freaking gateway to get into. I feel like if you watch
that's actually very true. The first 80% of it's kind of fine, and then it goes way off the rails.
Yeah, that gave me some nightmares. Anyway, there's a lot of anime that randomly gives you nightmares, but it's good. It is a good medium to consume your content in. If you ever get tired of, you know, the limitations of human normies and whatever they could produce, go watch some anime. I mean, hey, there's a lot of really good cartoons for the same reason. Like, I really loved Gravity Falls. I feel like you would really love Gravity Falls, Riley. That's like, it's kind of like a history buff show. It's not like real history, but it's like, you know.
I think you would like it. Yeah, it's really good. You know what? Yeah, this might make you upset, Bloody. I watched all of Gravity Falls, and I stopped watching it like halfway through the last episode.
That is upsetting.
I literally got to like Weird Mageddon or whatever, and I was like, And I, like something happens to interrupt me watching it. I was like, I just never went back to it.
That I don't is know highly why. Upsetting.
It was weird, right? I don't know why.
I'm not going to get mad. I'm just going to tell you objectively, you've upset me. And I think this is time to end the podcast.
Wow. We talked about how that is the I am not mad, I'm just disappointed. Oh, my God.
Yeah. What? Fantastic. Well, I'm not going to say that I'm meaningfully more likely to watch any anime anytime soon, but this could be the sort of thing. Like, this could be the seed of the tree that was planted.
I mean, Riley,
in 20
it's at your
time.
Own pace. Whenever you feel like it, go for it's it. I'm not going to force you into it, like the rest of your experiences. I'm just going to let you know worry. That you're going to do it eventually, and I look forward to it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And we can.
That was somehow more threatening.
I'll give you a call when I'm wanting to pick out, you know, which body pillow I want to buy for myself. We'll say anyway.
When we went to Japan, we were in like that like a bit for CFP. We had a big big multi story mall. And one of the floors was a, what they would describe as a gentleman's section that is just wall-to-wall awful body pillows.
You're talking
and
about that Akihabara, that right? Or whatever
it was in Akihabara. It was in Akihabara, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is mostly like a place where you can buy a bunch of Sega Genesis games, except for like these two stores that are wall-to-wall body pillows. And Riley is right. That is bad anime PR.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, man. Needs a PR overhaul. Anyway, we're done. That's it. We're out of time. Thank you very much, Bloody, for being on the show. It's been really excellent to have you. Where can people find you? You stream a bunch. You're on Twitter.
Straight to at SXC Tomato.
It's literally just twitch.tv/bloody or twitter.com/bloody. You go to my Twitch if you want to see me live and play games and have fun. You go to my Twitter if you want what all of the internet wants, which is just cute girl selfies. And yeah, so... That's where you find me. I have a Discord too. I have a bunch of adorable folks in there. It's actually so cute how much my Discord has built up. I love them so much because I wake up in the morning and I look and there's like 40 messages of everyone saying good morning to each other. It's so cute. Jeez. It starts at like 4 a.m. and someone's like, ah, good morning. And everyone's like, oh, morning. What's up? How's it going? And then they just like get started. And I wake up at like, you know, 9 and I'm like, good morning. And then everyone just does a whole nother round of it. Like, oh, Bloody's up. What up? And it's like, it's so cute. It's so nice. Anyway.
Well, not a bad way to start the day.
No, it's not. It's so friendly. Anyway,
I message Riley at 8 a.m. every day. Just say, go fuck yourself. Like right at the gate.
There's another beep I got to put in, man. Maybe I just won't. Mate, this is going to be an explicit episode as well. This is just Voxy all over again, mate. All these swears.
Well, in any case, feel free to swing by if you just want a comfy place to hang out, watch some magic, watch some murdering. I play a lot of Among Us. It's fun.
Some sussing.
And yeah, it's a good place to be. I am as the one who, you know, proctored the community, I would say I'm a fan. But yeah, I don't know. Feel free to check me out. twitch.tv/bloody. I am live almost every morning. So
you're gonna go live right after this?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go eat some pancakes and then I'm gonna turn my stream on.
Nice. Excellent. Well, thank you once again, mate, for being part of the show. It was really fun.
So
we didn't have a chat. And,
it was really fun. Yeah, we haven't chatted in forever because we haven't been to events, so it's been nice.
Yeah. Mm. It was good to get into the thingy deep lore.
That's good.
Is that so-called big thingy energy?
Big thingy energy. That's what we're looking at here.
Oh, boy.
Oh dear. Anyway, thanks very much, Bloody. I guess also thanks, Dennis, for being here, but to a much lesser extent.
I'm here every week.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Riley, and to a lesser extent, Dennis.
Fuck. Oh, wow.
I love this. We got to have Bloody.
Shooting
him
from both sides of the hip.
No,
holy
this
shit.
This is great. I'm enjoying this. Anyway, channelfab.com, of course. Sign up for the TimeSpot release party. You got to do it nice and quick because it's happening this weekend. And if you miss it, of course, still the best place to go and buy it. So you cast your coupon code NIGHT at checkout.
Work on smart.
And coupon code NIGHT. And thanks to Joachim Crud for the use of our theme song. And we're done. That's it, Dennis.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.